The Forbidden Tree. Dear Diary, I went to the Forbidden Tree, even though I know it's strictly forbidden by the elders. They tell us every day, do not go there, do not do this. I'm so old and boring. Can a girl help to wonder what's so dangerous about a raggedy old tree stump? I have considered it for so many moons now, I've lost count. You know this, dearest diary. So yesterday, when I was assigned to goat milking, I got Belinda to do half my chore. I said to her, this is what I said. You do me a favor and milk the rest, Belle. I'll have you know, boys always go for the best goat milkers. You understand why, yes? I'm sure she didn't, but she trusts my judgment. She really is an angel, Belle, and it needs me to trick her this way. But I had to get away some way. And then I went to the hill and I became a woman of the world that day. I can't begin to think about it without feeling my head spin. My cheeks are burning and my most private place just lights like a forest fire. I can feel it pulsating, mocking me, taunting me to quench it as we speak. I have this feeling that since what I did there, or rather what was done to me, what was laid upon me, the experience that I lived through there, I don't have the words to touch upon that moment in a way that doesn't sound torty and dry. Where was I going with that? Oh yes, my point is, none of the nightmares the elders teach us about have happened to me. The gods have seen my actions, and I live. I love to tell that tale. Ever since that day, my womanhood has burned bright with desire, like an unrelenting, engulfing flame, consuming my mind and thought as soon as it's lit. I mean, I'm so wet. I'll drench my nightcloth if this keeps going. Well, we can't have that, can we? Diary. Writing this and touching myself is the absolute least of my sins as of late. But I promise I won't breed around the hedge anymore. I need to put this parchment so that I can forever remember the tree as I do now. My darling tree. But it wasn't really the tree, was it? I was something else. So I'm walking, leaving Belle with the goats in the goat field behind me. It may seem strange, Diary, but for the first step I felt a growing sense of... Well, I felt adventurous and a little aroused. I wasn't really familiar with the feeling at the time. I got to the point where you could see the tree. It's the meadow where they take you on your last name day. They take you there and they tell you... It's one thing for young girls to make believe and play at the thought, but you'll be a grown woman soon, and you may never go there, or the gods shall strike down on you and make you impossible to meet with. Oh, like I need any of the men now. Anyhow, I'm getting a little bit dim-witted here. It's my skillful hand to blame, see? I start to climb the hill. See, it's very steep. Covered in dry yellow grass, much like hay. I left my shoes at the bottom for better grip. The ground tickled my feet as I stepped over stones, overgrown with the dry herbs and vines that increasingly cover the hills. I became so steep, I had to grab the grass to hoist myself up over the flat top where it stood. Where he? No, it was more than he or she. It wasn't it. Imagine a... what's the word for the particular class of tree? It had the overward appearance of willow, leaf-covered vines hanging like walls around it, making it look like some kind of dwelling, almost. Only near the ground, the leaves take a blood-red shade of crimson and become bright yellow at the top of the tree, where all kinds of impossible nuances in between. I remember standing there, a good pig's length from it, reflecting over how I already... past what is considered safe distance. And yet there I was, unharmed and unsmitten, untouched even. A breeze was blowing through the leaves, softly displacing the vines, inviting me to glances of dark interior. I'd lie if I said I didn't feel a tinge of alertness. Not fear, no. Rather, I had this instinctive impression of something in the air. A kind of energy that lay like mist around the tree. A soaring, violent feeling poking at my mind, whispering, "Come inside. You have come this far. You never do half measures. You're not a little girl anymore." So I opened the gap in the branches with my hands and poked my head inside. Nothing. It was dark, not even light seeped through the thick vines to reveal the wide, open bole of the willow. The ground was covered in thick roots, crumbling and slithering in a frozen parody of movement. And this covered in a peculiar moss, soft and almost squishy to the touch of my feet. I squished inside, feet already becoming moist from the ground. I remember it like I was still standing there. How I walked towards the center of this little leaflet room of branches, hands feeling the errant loose vines hanging evenly spread along the inner sanctum. I think to myself, this isn't so bad. What could possibly have been thinking? I touch the smooth bark of the base of the tree and I'm surprised by its texture. The surface is smooth, like those branches you find in the beach that had been polished by the waves, and it's warm. I put my hands around it. The hill is windy and I welcome the warmth. It has a pulsating heat to it, waves of sun-like warmth moving inside the tree, and I inhale its musky smell, which seems to be emitting from its bark. I stand like this for a while, stomach and chest pressed against the wood, feet on two curled roots, when I feel something warm touch my ankle. I react quickly because I think it's a snake or a salamander even, but when I look down, I find it's a small moving root. It looks polished and smooth like the rest of the willow, and it is moist and glistening in the shadowed light. I scream. I try to move away, instincts acting before mind, but I'm stuck already. It has curled itself around my foot and ankle, moving like an eel upwards, leaving a slimy trail of what appears to be some kind of warm, sticky sap. Oh, lords, they are everywhere. I barely have time to see a similar shape snake its way up my other leg when another root slings itself behind me and wraps around my neck like a living, warm noose. I was trapped, diary dearest. My arms and legs were locked down by the things. They moved so fast, never stopping or slowing down, perpetually moving, slithering along my body. I remember how the first root carefully squeezed its way under my small cloth, damping it in strange honey. I can barely move or breathe at this point. Every trace of resistance tensed the appendage around my neck until fields of black clouded my sight. My leg strained as much as I tolerated as the roots took the path past my womanhood. I could feel one of them slithering past my rose lips, up past my navel, feeling its way around the underside of my breast, circling until the most thin part of the wooden arm dropped itself around my nipple. My other breast was likewise soon trapped by a fellow appendage, twisting and tugging at my bust. Every movement sent jolts of impulses I was very unfamiliar with. Every inch of my body was soon dripping in warm, oily, sticky dew that inflamed my skin in warmth and seemed to make it sensitive to their ever-advancing touch. I could hear the sounds of cloth ripping as strong tendrils pulled at my clothing from all directions, bearing my pale flesh to be attacked by more of them. Rubbing, teasing, provoking my body. I had lost my voice to everything but heavy breathing, mouth open, exchanging heated gasps of air like the billow of an infernal smithy, eager roots tightening around my breasts with every lungful of air. Then they all stopped moving. Like an animal catching smell of a hunter, they froze, in all ways but clenching carefully here and there, like as to set in stone that their grip was true. I could hear my own fevered breath, my pumping heart, screaming in my ears and chests. My mind was cloudy. There was no capacity for coherent thought or reason. All I felt was this turmoil of fear and arousal, pressing tight against this backside of my skull, screaming for release. I felt something move again. It was thicker than all the other tendrils, like a strong man's wrist and girth. It didn't wriggle or twitch like the others. No, it moved steadily along my leg, and part of me knew. There was really not of a doubt in my mind. What bothered me was the small voice in my head that, gaining more and more strength for every moment, screaming for it to move faster. A part of me already wanted it inside me. Not that what I wanted mattered for long anyway. I shuddered as the root round tip gently touched the most private of places. It didn't immediately plunge inside like I expected, but slowly and carefully placed itself in my entrance. I couldn't help but to melt, mewing signs of erupt from my lips. Every gasp of air I took moved me against the horrendous tip, letting loose erratic spasms in my lower body. I could feel my last few measures of will strip away as the living branch itself pressed ever so slowly inside my welcoming hearth. My body shaked and the tree's grip gave away slightly to let my body arch in pleasure as it pulsated inside me, growing in width as a response to my internal muscles closing around it, coddling it into place. My eyes rolled to their sockets as the thick root began thrusting itself in violent rhythms that sent waves in mind and flesh. I was nothing and everything. Time and matter was all that compressed in the dance of the flesh. I and it were the same. We were a slithering pile of body parts moving at the same pulse, burning with a desire to lessen the difference between us. I was suspended at this point, roots lifting and pulling me to the heavy, wet sounds of my violent fucking. The thickest vine poked at my mouth and eagerly I sucked on it, inviting it to use another of my openings. I started to spew a familiar sap inside of me, in thick like streams that pulsed itself down to my throat in equal parts as much as it spilled out of my mouth. There were no need for air. I felt no need to gag or breathe, but my mind was not in a place to reflect of such matters anyway. Streams of sap ran down past the ever-working organ that hammered into me, now creating slashing sounds as their liquid mixed and lathered with mine. You should have been there, my sweet diary, as the tree wrapped its strong tendrils around my buttocks and forced my body into collisions with the smallest phallus piece. Droplets of sweat, juice, and honey slashing like dew on the leather drum. I could feel it pick up its pace, triggering small explosions of euphoria somewhere under my navel. I could not comprehend how good it felt, but the clock waves from my overworked slit grew with every movement, until one last push set my body into a white-hot state of shaking bliss. I screamed in tearful joy and agony as all roots ejected streams of sap into me, and onto me in chaotic display of amber drops and shuddering skin. Waves and waves of pleasure rocked me like unrelenting tidal waves. Things became blurry after this. I remember the roots letting me down, caressing my exhausted body until I fell asleep in its arms. I think some of them played with my hair, tussling the small circles. They found me, the people of the village, sleeping, bruised in a pile of ripped clothes. I was found in the outskirts of town, everyone talking about highwaymen raping me. I haven't said anything. They can tell I'm different now. I can hear a tree beckon me and to dance with it once again, but this time with silly notions of resistance and fear out of the way. Oh, how I long for it, diary. Tomorrow, I'll bring Belle to the hill. She will understand, and we'll both be different.